All right, who's ready for another cocktail?
Yes, please. Whatever that last one was, it was incredible.
That was a Bartesian margarita. Bright, smooth, perfectly balanced. You'd swear it came from a bar.
That came from the Bartesian cocktail maker?
Yep, pop in a capsule, press a button, and boom. Bar quality cocktails at home. My friend swore by it, so I finally got one.
I tried the Old Fashioned earlier. Honestly, it's the best I've had outside an actual bar.
Right? Over 60 craft cocktail options, ready in under 30 seconds.
And Bartesian's running their biggest holiday deal. Up to $150 off cocktail makers right now.
Wait, up to $150? That's huge.
Exactly. Holiday hosting just got way easier.
Make your holiday gatherings unforgettable with Bartesian, the cocktail maker that crafts smooth, bar-quality drinks at the touch of a button. Save up to $150 on Bartesian cocktail makers. The biggest savings of the year end December 2nd. Don't miss out. Order now at bartesian.com/drinks. That's bartesian.com/drinks.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch brand. Plus, Zyn offers a robust rewards program. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Ooh! What's up, good people? It's time for another session of that verbal. Sorry, y'all. Sorry. It's time for another session of that verbal cardio, man. We back. We back in November, man. The holidays is coming up. You know, if you watching, if you listening, you blessed already. That means you still alive to watch and listen. So I want y'all to take that in, man. I know I say that every episode, but I really want y'all to take that in, man. The little things, the small blessings, if you will. You got a phone, you got the internet, you know what I'm saying? You got the free time to just watch a podcast with me talking about bullshit, you know? Those are the blessings. Those are the blessings right there. That you even got a phone, man. Some people ain't even got a phone. You ever realize that? Some people don't have a phone. Some people just got a landline. And a part of me kind of misses the landline. I kind of miss the one option to reach somebody. I kind of miss the fact that, yo, you want to get in touch with me? You got to call me. You got to call me at the house. And if I'm not at the house, guess what? You won't hear from me until I get back to the house. I kind of miss that. Like, we too accessible now. Why you ain't hit me back? Why you ain't text me? I called you. Some people use my cell phone as a pager. Some people call me and don't leave a text, don't leave no voicemail. They just call me and expect me to be like, you know, calling back or text. But no, if you call me and you don't follow it up with a voicemail message or a text, guess what? That's just a missed call. Unless you like family, somebody I'm close to, obviously. But if you just call me and don't follow it up with nothing, guess what? That's just a missed call. It's just going to sit in the missed call purgatory. Because you paged me. I ain't got no page. This ain't Menace to Society. I ain't sitting here with the pager on. In class, just pulling up the pager like, oh, let me go to the phone booth and call them back. No, nigga. State your business. What do you want from me? Why did you call me? Because I assume that if you don't leave a voice note, if you don't follow it up with a text message on the side, I assume it's not important. So therefore, you just sitting in the missed call bin. It wasn't important. Because if it was important, then you would be like, yo, Tone, man, I need you to hit me up for blah, 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 blah. Tone, I was wondering if you could do such, such, such and such. Hey, Tone, you know what I'm saying? I was just reaching out to shoot the breeze. Hey, Tone, I was just checking in on you. But if you say nothing but a phone call, guess what? Missed call, Ben. And it's a blessing to even have a missed call, been, man. It's people out here fighting for their lives every single day. It's somebody laying up in the hospital praying to be brought out of that health crisis that they're in. It's people out here with fresh losses of family members. It's people out here, you know, their homes were destroyed. You know, you think about stuff that's going on in Palestine and Africa, and just, you know, you sit back and you wonder, because it seems far away, but it's not, you know. This could be us at any moment, especially with everything that's going on out here. This could be us. And to have that lack of compassion, that lack of care, because it's not close to you, you know, I'd be taking that stuff in. I can be like, yo, that could be any one of us. So to sit from a place of privilege, because you got the distance and you got the comfort, the cold comforts of home, that's a cold life, man. And I need y'all to have more compassion for people outside of you, meaning I'm sick of, I know y'all gonna be mad at me because y'all always think I'm pandering to women or that I'm simping or whatever, but it's like when women tell you their struggles, they tell you what they're going through, they tell you everything that's going on, and a dude will sit there and be like, yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? It's only right because I got a daughter. I got a mom. Why you got to have that kind of connection to sympathize and empathize with the person? Why you got to, oh, shoot, I got a daughter. How about just straight up having compassion, even if you didn't grow up with a mom, even if you don't have a daughter or a sister? How about just having compassion for another human being and what they're going through, even though it's outside of your wheelhouse? Dudes always talk like that, man. I got a daughter, so of course I'm going to be, nah, man, you should just have it off the top. You should just have it off the top, man. All you ladies out here telling men, be a man, be a man. Y'all can shut y'all asses up too, because, you know, don't be telling us to be a man. What it is to be a man. Men can't do this. Men can't do that. Shut y'all asses up as well. I don't like it when men do this, this, that, and the third. I don't like a soft man. What's a soft man? That's why dudes be out here all bottled up as it is. Because when they do show vulnerability, they get shredded for it on both sides of the aisle. You know, they get shredded up by other men. You soft, dude. You soft. And they getting shredded up by women. He too soft for me. So it's a lose-lose situation on expressing vulnerabilities and insecurities and traumas that they had to deal with and stresses that are compounding and killing men at an early age, because we're taught to tuck everything in, to be men. Stop crying. What you crying for? Now we're not releasing emotions in a healthy manner because we don't want to seem soft. We don't want to be crying out here. We got to suck it up. So we internalize for decades. And every time you go to the doctor, they like, yo, man, stress, stress, stress. They always talking about stress and what it does to health. And you see all these symptoms that come through stress, all the effects on the human body and the mind is linked to stress. And all that stuff you tucking back and tucking away because you're a man, being a man, boom. And here's another thing I'm sick of. I'm sick of dudes, or not even dudes, people in general, that always got something to say about the gay community. Whenever somebody's gay, they always got to come out their mouth and say some shit. I don't agree. I don't agree. Why everything got to be gay? Why is it an agenda? What's the agenda? What's the agenda? When you say it's a gay agenda, what is the agenda? What do you think the goal is for the gay community out here? What do you think they're trying to do with this agenda? Because here's how I look at the agenda in the gay community. And I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, gay community. But I feel like they just want to be who they are, loud and proud. That's what I feel like the agenda is, if there is one. They want to be accepted for who they are. What's wrong with that agenda? What's wrong with that? They want their stories to be told. They want their experiences to be told. They want to be comfortable in their own skin without people always talking shit. That's the problem. People always talking shit. You ain't got to say nothing.
I ain't no homophobe. I just don't agree.
You ain't got to agree with shit. Shut up.
It's not homophobic, man. I'm just saying I don't agree.
You ain't have to say none of that. This ain't who got the best Dorito flavor. Regular Cool Ranch. Some people be like, I don't have a problem with gay people. I just don't want my kids to see. You can stop right there. You just express a problem with the gay community. Right there. As soon as you say, I don't have a problem with gay people. I just don't want my kids to. You just canceled out what you said before. You don't want your kids to see what? You don't want your kids to see what exactly? You don't want your kids seeing a gay person? You don't want your kids seeing a man loving a man? You don't want your kids to see a woman loving a woman? What's the big deal if your kid sees that? What's the big deal? And a lot of people equate gayness with just explicit sexuality. Like as soon as somebody say they gay, they be like, oh, you immediately go to explicit sex. And that's a ridiculous way of thinking. And you think your kid's going to see, oh, man, gay people. I'm gay now. I've seen gay people. I am now gay, Dad. Y'all doing too much, man. Y'all doing too much. Let people be who they is. If they gay, let them be gay and hush, man. Don't nobody need your shit talk on the side. The agenda is this. Let them be who they are. Let them tell their stories. We've been telling our stories all this time. We've been telling our stories for decades. Men loving women. Women loving men. Kissing, smooching, making love songs, love scenes, explicit sex scenes. We've been doing it all. We've been doing this for decades. And it's always going to be, men are always going to love women and women are always going to love men. It's always going to be this. It ain't going nowhere. It ain't going nowhere. Kids are still being birthed. Am I wrong? I see pregnant people all the time. Men and women, smashing it up. That ain't going nowhere. It's always going to be here. But I want y'all to let people be gay, man. Can't stress that enough. I come back to this all the time because I'm a straight up ally for the gay community. Ally McGee, man. Ally McBeal. Ally McBeal, I should say. And I just unscrewed this water bottle and then I closed it back up because y'all don't want me drinking on the mic. Soft. I want to give a shout out to my patron saints in here, man. Nakia, Simone L, Miss Crawford, Lala, Miss Josie, Valerie T, Sherry Tucker, Maya G, Kristen R, Crunchy Apple, Darrell, Joy, LeBron Smith, Sharla, Maya, Aomi, Miranda, Christina Shanks, Trey, Zakia, Candid Cammy, New York Calm. New York Calm, man. I need another sweatsuit in a different color. It's time, man. It's time. Everybody in the IG Live, I don't know why it's not loading up the new comments. I can't even see the fresh comments. Instagram been raggedy lately, man. I can't read all my comments on my posts. It's just a lot of raggedy shit going with Instagram, man. Instagram always got some shit going. That's why you need to join the Patreon, man. $5 a month. Stop playing with me. Stop playing with me. But let me pay some bills real quick. You feel me? Let me pay some bills real quick. Because let me tell you something, man. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly. So why should payday? That's the ultimate question. If life ain't out here happening bi-weekly, why should payday, man? The money you've earned should be in your hands today. And with earn in, it can be, okay? In those moments when money isn't moving as fast as your life is, earn in helps give you the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. You feel me? Earn In is an app that lets you access your pay as you earn it up to $150 a day with a max of $750 between paydays. Just download the Earn In app and add your info. Then start accessing your pay as you work and leave an optional tip to help keep the app running for everyone. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You feel me? Earn In is an app that's helping millions of Americans take charge of their pay and avoid falling into debt traps. You know what I'm saying? Because life be lifing, man. Life be happening in the underneath of the 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Gas, bills, groceries, a special night out, taking family to dinner or an event, the last minute gift for a loved one, an unexpected trip to the vet, rent, tickets that might sell out before payday. Car trouble always going to be that one. Car trouble is going to be that one, man. It never failed. Back when I was working the 9 to 5s, the car trouble would always wait. Car trouble would be like, yo, you cash that check? You paid some bills? You paid your little rent? You did all that? That's what your car do every time. Or if you think you getting over, you be like, hey, man, I got me a little surplus. The car be like, oh, you got your little surplus, huh? A little surplus of cash. Every time, man. So download the Earn In app. That's EARNIN in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earn In app, type in Verbal Cardio under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. That's Verbal Cardio under podcast. Earning is a financial technology company, not a bank. Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees. Expedited transfers available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service. Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit earnin.com for full details. Download EarnIn now and take control of your pay. Take control. Take it. Seize it. Harness it. Get in on that control. When it comes to Donald Trump and the Epstein joints, we always think we got Donald Trump by the balls. We always do. As people that dislike Donald Trump to the utmost, we always think we got him by the balls. We never do. We never have him. This man is impenetrable. You would think, oh, we got him now. No. Oh, he was found guilty? No, 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 no. So I don't get hyped over nothing. Even if he is all up in the Epstein files, what's going to happen? What they going to do? The Republicans going to sit there and stick with him. Ain't nothing going to happen. So I'll just be like, it's whatever. It's whatever. We just got to ride out this presidential term and just get them the hell up out of there. And then we're going to have to rebuild from there. That's it. Ain't nothing going to happen, y'all. Let me get away from the mic on that sip. So, it's whatever, man. I could care less, man. Release the files. Release them. But Trump's still going to be president. He's still going to be sitting up in that office. He's still going to be sitting right there looking at us with his bullshit ass red tie on. Sick of it, man. So my hopes is dead. I don't get my hopes up about nothing, man. He here to stay. They just letting him flourish and do whatever the hell he wants to do. So it's whatever. That's my take on that, man. That's my little 2 cent that don't even matter. Nothing matters, man. We stuck with him. I watched the Eddie Murphy documentary, and first of all, what Eddie Murphy has done is legendary. I've talked about Eddie Murphy on this podcast before. We did a top 5 Eddie Murphy movies on the Ball Brothers podcast. Talking about the Eddie Murphy doc. And I think we're going to talk more about this on Ball Brothers, so I might save a lot of this for that, but Eddie Murphy's a goddamn legend. I wanted the documentary to dig a little bit deeper. I wanted Eddie Murphy documentary for the movie nerd. Right? Like, I want something that I want him to talk about project by project. That's what I want. I want him to dig in on 48 Hours. I want him to dig in on Trading Places. I want him to dig in on Beverly Hills Cop, The Golden Child, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Raw, Coming to America, Harlem Nights, Boomerang. Like, I want all the details, that whole run. And then even after that, when we got Beverly Hills Cop 3 and Vampire in Brooklyn, dig in on that. Like, I want a series. I want episodes. Episode 1, the 80s. Episode 2, the 90s. Episode 3, the 2000s. One episode can focus on his stand-up specials, Delirious and Raw, and the differences in how he constructed those set lists. You know, Family could be one episode. I wanted all of that, man. Like, I wanted more. And for the movie nerd in me, man, I was just like, man, give me some more. Give me some more, man. Let's talk about 48 Hours. Because 48 Hours, man, 48 Hours was something special. It was like they touched on it in the documentary about you'd never seen like a black character like that at that time. And it was just like, it gave us the blueprint of, he's not just a sidekick. He was vital to the mission. He wasn't some bumbling, scared black sidekick. Oh, we scared. None of that. He was out of jail helping this cop figure this shit out. The cop was like, all right, where we going next, convict? And he leading them around. He being unapologetically black and who he is. He wasn't taking no shit. That scene in the bar was iconic. There's a new sheriff in town. And you know Nick Nolte's character, you know he was racist. And they fought. They straight up fought in the alley. I was like, yo, man, this. They had a straight up fist fight in the alley. I was like, man, this is just the best. And then you see them trying to replicate that after, 48 Hours came out. And it just jump started the buddy action comedy. Because after that we get Running Scared with Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal, we get Lethal Weapon, we get Rush Hour, we get Bad Boys, we get so many of these other movies where it's just like, yeah, the buddy action comedy formula. And then he follows that up with Trading Places. Anyway, man, we're going to talk about that a little bit more on the Ball Brothers podcast, because we're shooting a bunch of episodes for the Ball Brothers podcast on Monday. And the patron saints will be able to watch us do the episodes live. if you're in the IG live, which I'm about to cut off, you're going to miss out because you didn't join the Patreon. Join the Patreon. $5 a month. You ain't got to get no cutoffs. I appreciate y'all. But yeah. Miranda Cummings asks, and that was a question from Frankly Speaking. Miranda Cummings asks, do you like Wale's music? I do, actually. I listened to his mixtapes About Nothing back in the day, and Nike Boots was dope to me. His verse on Kings and Queens. He has a song that he featured on a Tyga song, and it's a song called Kings and Queens. And it's Tyga, Wale, and Nas on it. The Wale verse. I listened to that verse so much. I think he's got talent. I think he's dope. I listened to his, it was one album that I probably listened to the most of his. Let me cue it up. It was the one I sat with the longest, I would say. And you know, he from DC. The Gifted album. The Gifted album is probably the Wale album I listened to the most. Not necessarily that was his best album, but that was the one I listened to the most outside of the mixtape About Nothing. But yeah, he be having some gems, and I respect him as a rapper. So yeah, you know, I listen to Wale. He's one of those rappers that, you know, I enjoy Wale. You know, but he's not up there with my favorites, but, you know, I enjoy it. Appreciate you, Tanya. I'm glad you came out in Orlando. And Outkast in the Hall of Fame, hell yeah. Outkast, the best duo in music ever, any genre. They are the best duo ever in any genre. So hell yes, put them in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know what I like about Outkast? The evolution every album had. No album was like the one before it. That's what I appreciate about Outkast. Outkast came out with Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music. It was like, oh shit, they be rapping like this in Atlanta? Okay. They came out with the bars, the flow, the lyricism, the swagger. That made me really lock in on Atlanta. Because before that, you know, you had some booty shaking, you know, cats out. The South was mad booty shaking. Florida, Two Live Crew and them, it was a lot of booty shaking going on in the South. Big booty shaking music, right? In the South, you did have the gritty stuff thanks to the Ghetto Boys and Scarface. But it was you know, UGK coming around and, like, you know, cats like that. But, like, it was a lot of booty shaking, Florida, Georgia. Booty shaking. And there ain't nothing wrong with booty shaking, man. Hey, booties be shaking. Booty shaking is a good time. Don't know who don't like looking at the booty shaking. We can appreciate the booty shaking. But for me, listening to music in my car, in my Walkman back in the day, I'm not listening to the booty shaking. The booty shaking is good for the clubs, or if you out at such and such beach, or you doing this, and we partying, booty shake all day. But on my day-to-day listens, I don't be looking for the booty shake. I could pass on the booty shake. No disrespect to the booties out there, and the booties are shaking. But I just needed something more, and Outkast gave me something more. Now, you know, Criss Cross was from Atlanta, but I feel like they didn't really represent Atlanta to the fullest. Not saying that they gave a bad representation of Atlanta, but it was just like, did you know they was from Atlanta? Like, for real. Like, when you saw the Jump video, they had on so many different teams. You ain't know where they was from. They had an Eagles jacket on, a Yankees jacket, and it was just like, all right, where these kids from? They was in the drop top. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, they in the drop top with the hydraulics? That looked like West Coast shit. It was big confusion on where they was from. But when Outkast came out, they was like, Atlanta, let us put you on. Even in one of the interludes, they was like, they were telling you about the different sections of Atlanta, East Point, SWATs. I was like, oh, shit. I felt like I was really learning about Atlanta for the first time. on the rap tip, because you know rappers are going to be regional. They are the most regional voices in music. Like when you get R&B, pop, you know, rock, whatever, you don't know where they from. They might tell you in interviews, they might do a song paying homage to where they're from, but you really don't know where they're from. Like if we didn't know everything about the Jacksons, would you know they were from Gary, Indiana, based on the music? You wouldn't know. I don't remember Michael Jackson ever talking about Gary, Indiana. When he was singing Beat It, he wasn't. We roaming around here at Gary, Indiana. You might disappear. He could have threw that in there. He could have let us know you might disappear in Gary, Indiana. But he never did. Whitney Houston, you ain't know she was from Jersey. I ain't know where she was from. I ain't know where Anita Baker was from. But rappers be like, yo, I'm from here, putting my city on the map. I'm from Atlanta. We from Queens. We from Brooklyn, son. We from Jersey. We from dirty Jersey. We from Philly, man. We from Chicago, man. We out here, man. Los Angeles, Compton. We straight out of Compton. Staten Island, son. Rappers come out the gate letting you know where they're from. Nelly put the whole St. Louis arch on his album cover. Yo, country grammar, man. St. Louis. So Outkast came out and did that, man. And Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music, that was an album I couldn't stop, man. I couldn't stop listening to it. I was like, man, yo, I heard Players Ball, and I was like, all right, man. I didn't expect much else. After I heard Players Ball, I was like, all right, they got a good song. I got introduced to that album, man. I was like, man, I got to have this album. It was in my boy Mario's car. I was like, yo, this shit is fire, man. The way they rapping, the way Big Boy and Andre was rapping, I got to get in on this. Outkast was doing it, man. And then they had a shift in sound and visuals with the AT Aliens album. When that album came out, I was working at Dairy Queen. I skimmed some money off the top so I can get money to afford the AT Aliens the day it dropped. Copped that album, Two Dope Boys in the Cadillac. They had the comic book inspired album cover. Full comic book in the CD booklet. I was like, oh man, this is amazing. Andre was starting to evolve into what, you know, he was always evolving visually. And I was just like, man, this AT Aliens was a shift. A lot of people wasn't rocking with the shift. Let's be honest. A lot of people on the hindsight, they want to act like, no, man. No, I liked AT Aliens as soon as it dropped. A lot of people was like, man, I don't like this. I don't like this shift in sound. That's what people were saying in real time. People out here sitting up here fronting all day talking about, man, that AT Aliens was a classic off the top. You lying. A lot of cats was like, man, this different. This different, man. Nah. Why he got a turban on, man? This different. Take us back to the Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music. But now, you know what I'm saying, when you sat with it and you was like, yo, this AT Aliens album is absolute fire. Then they want to go back and act like they was with it the whole time, man. Nah, man. Outkast even alludes to that type of mindset in a little sketch in the Aquemini album. Right? And so even on Aquemini, we get another shift in sound. It wasn't, the shift in sound from AT Aliens to Aquemini wasn't as stark as the shift from Southern Playlistic to AT Aliens. It was like a subtle shift from AT Aliens to Aquemini. It was more subtle. And Aquemini is my favorite Outkast album. I feel like it's the perfect blend of the first two albums. You even got a song called West Savannah that's on Quemini that was supposed to be on Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music, and it's just Big Boy rapping on there. And then the biggest shift was from Quemini to Stankonia. Now, Stankonia, I'll admit, it took me a while to embrace that album as a whole. I was just like, man, it's too much going on. Like, Bombs Over Baghdad, when I first heard it, I was like, man, it's too much going on, man. What's happening? The soundscapes, it was a lot for me to take in, and I wasn't ready for Stankonia when it first hit. I bought it first day. And that was an epic day for music, but I was just like, I had to get my feet together. Like, even now, I feel like that's probably my most skippable Outkast album. I probably skipped the most tracks on that album than any other Outkast album. But over time, I was just like, yo, this album is fire. This album fire right here. And then after that, but you could see the contrast even more between Big Boy and Andre. And then when they come out with Speaker Box and The Love Below, that was just another huge shift in sound. And I feel like the only way that could have been made is if they was like, all right, Andre, we just gonna let you do your complete thing. Big Boy was like, let me do my thing, and then, you know, we'll, because I feel like if they had to do it together, it probably wouldn't have came out. So the fact that it worked, because Andre gonna do what Andre gonna do. He gonna do what he wanted to do. And you could tell he just wanted to do Love Below. That's where he was at musically. And beautifully, that shit worked. Both of those albums are good. That shit worked. That's what's crazy. And that's why Outkast is the best. The evolution in sound is crazy. It's crazy. So shout out to Outkast, man. The best. Anyway, let me pay some more bills real quick. So, you know, sports is happening. You see the shirt I got on. You know what I'm saying? Bears have been stressing me out week after week. Pulling these victories out the cheeks, out the mud, if you will. It's crazy. But this episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this sports season. On Prize Picks, whether you're a football fan, a basketball fan, or a fan of both like me, because I'm a fan of both. I got the Bears shirt. I got the Bulls shirts at the crib. I got the jackets. I got the Bulls jackets. I got the Bears jackets. Whatever you need. I was watching the Bulls last night. They beat Denver. It always feels good to be right. Okay? And I feel like this NFL season, I'm excited because my team is doing well. You know, we stressing. I'm stressed out, but we 7-3. The Bears are number one in their division. The Bulls started out so strong. They started out 5-0, and then they hit the skids, and they lost one, and then they won one, and then they lost five in a row. But we came out of the streak last night. So we getting up, we doing it, man. But Prize Picks makes it easy. If you have a limited, you know, knowledge, let's say you just follow your team and you kind of lightly follow everybody else, you still can do well on Prize Picks. You know what I'm saying? If you got favorite players, focus on them. Focus on what Steph Curry is going to do in a game, or focus on what Luka Doncic is going to do in a game, or, you know what I'm saying? These cats, you could just, LeBron James going to do this, or Anthony Edwards is going to do that. You know, it make it really easy for the people that are into sports. You don't even have to be a sports fanatic like that to do well on Prize Picks. So it's dope. Prize Picks is simple to play. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. Play Prize Picks to get action on football and basketball in more than 40 plus states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks now offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to three times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Steph Curry's points, three-pointers, and assists? Now you can pick all of them in the same lineup, only on Prize Picks. You can follow other Prize Picks players directly on the app, copy their lineups in one click, whether it's a friend, a celebrity partner, or just someone who picks, someone whose picks you like. Hit the follow button and check out every lineup they create in the new feed on Prize Picks. Right? Prize Picks puts their users first, so all withdrawals and are fast and secure. Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. So join the millions of users and sign up to America's number one fantasy sports app. All you got to do is download the Prize Picks apps today and use the code VERBAL to get $50 in lineup after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code VERBAL to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Everybody want to be right. Everybody want to be right. Who don't want to be right? Come on, man. Who don't want to be right? So boom. I'm a science nerd. Okay? I'm into scientific stuff. I'm into all kind of stuff, to be honest with you. I'm into the supernatural. I'm into animals. I'm into astronomy. I'm into the natural world. I'm into movies, music. I'm into a lot of shit. Okay? A whole lot of shit. And sometimes I just go down rabbit holes randomly. I see a little post. I went down rabbit hole of like the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I'm terrified. One of my biggest fears in life, it's not finding love. It's just... My biggest fear in life, one of, nuclear war. Nuclear war scares the shit out of me like nothing else. The fear of nuclear war actually altered my life. That's how real it is. And I'll tell you why. I remember we were living in Chicago, and I saw this it was like a special on HBO about Nostradamus. They say he could see the future, right? He's from back in the day, and he was predicting all kind of stuff that didn't even happen in his lifetime. It was like he predicted the San Francisco earthquake in 1990. I was like, oh. So since he was accurate in that, he had predicted like the Antichrist and like it was going to be this big nuclear war, right? He predicted that. And the stuff he was saying was just kind of like matching up with like, you know, stuff that was beyond his thinking, because he was around. Let me tell you when he lived, just to give you a better idea of how old he was, how far he went back. Nostradamus was around from 1503 to 1566. That was his era. That's when he lived. So I was just like, wait a minute. He was around that long ago, and he was predicting stuff that was when? So, you know, they was breaking stuff down, and you know, it could be argued that people are forcing stuff like this. Like the supporters have retrospectively claimed that he predicted major world events, including the Great Fire of London, the French Revolution, the rises of Napoleon Bonaparte and Adolf Hitler, the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the September 11th attacks. So just for me seeing that special, I was just like, oh, hell no. Hell no. And so when my brother joined the Air Force, my oldest brother, he joined the Air Force, right? And his first orders were to Hawaii. Second orders were to Clovis, New Mexico. And at this time, man, I'm just like, man, that Nostradamus, man, he said it's going to be a nuclear war, man. He said it's going to be a nuclear war, man. Chicago going to get hit. Chicago definitely going to get hit, man. It's going to be a target. They're going to get New York first. You got to get New York. You got to hit New York off the top. And then they're going to get Los Angeles. Chicago. We sitting smack dab in Chicago, man. They're going to get us. And I'm from Chicago for real. Like, you know, ain't no outskirts. Ain't no, I live outside of Chicago. I lived in Chicago proper. South Side. No horse shit, no funny business, no different city on my mail. Chicago, Illinois. We gonna get hit. So when my brother was like, yo, y'all want to move out to New Mexico with me? I was like, yeah. Yeah. Let's get the hell out of here, mom. That was my biggest motivation to move to New Mexico. I was scared of nuclear war. Otherwise, I would have stayed. I ain't going to no Clovis, New Mexico, population 30,000. Man, get the fuck up out of here. Why would I go from Chicago to that? If I was thinking clearly, with no fear as the base, I would have been like, no, I'm staying in the shy. The food is better. You know what I'm saying? The girls out here going crazy, man. These little black girls is fine. Ain't gonna be no black girls in Clovis, New Mexico. The Bulls were national, they were champions. The Bulls won the championship. Jordan on the team. Come on, man. Clovis, New Mexico versus Chicago, Illinois, man. Come on. This city was teaching me black pride. I was out here, man, the Windy City, man, beautiful downtown, lots of shit to do, the aquarium, the planetarium, the Museum of Science and Industry, the Field Museum, Navy Pier, premium movie theaters, the arts, we could see plays, public transportation was fire, you know what I'm saying? Why the hell would I want to go to Clovis, New Mexico, population 30,000? Smells like pure cow poop once a day. Straight cow butt. Moo butt cheeks. All throughout that thing. Why the hell would I go there? Fear. The nuclear war is happening, man. Let me be in New Mexico. It's not going to be a target. Now, mind you, it wasn't a smart play. It wasn't a smart move at all. I'm going to where a military base is. They was doing all kind of nuclear testing for nuclear weapons in New Mexico. I didn't know this at the time. I didn't know about White Sands and Los Alamos. New Mexico was definitely going to be a target. They probably would have got hit before Chicago, to be honest, which I ain't know. Out of the frying pan and into the fire. That's what I was doing. Made no sense. Like, yeah, man, let me, I'm scared of nuclear war. Let me go to where the missiles is at. Let me go live on a target. Dumb. It was dumb. But I ended up in New Mexico. I got no regrets. I did what I did. Had a beautiful life in New Mexico. That's where I met Cherie. You know what I'm saying? We had beautiful sons. You know what I'm saying? I got no regrets. My sons were born in New Mexico. One Albuquerque, one Las Cruces. I got no regrets. But the initial motivation was fear of nuclear war and my plan and way of thinking was horseshit. Anyway, I was watching a YouTube video, a minute by minute countdown of Hiroshima. When they dropped the bomb, how they got it together, what happened. But the effects of that blast was just, we really dropped two atomic bombs on a country. Two atomic bombs. We really did that shit. That shit was horrible. Plane was over the city. They dropped a bomb. People were living their lives. You understand? They was going to market. They was going to school. They was just going to work. They were living life. These weren't military people. These weren't soldiers. They didn't drop the bomb on a battlefield. They was like, they be manufacturing shit for the war at this city. Drop that bomb. And their logic was this. They were like, if we continue to be at war with Japan, the amount of lives lost might tally in the millions if we continue down this path. So if we drop the bomb, lives will be lost, but it's going to be less than if we keep this war going. That was their logic. That was their way of thinking. And so they dropped that bomb. Thousands of people gone in an instant, vaporized. That's where you want it to be. God forbid, if a nuclear bomb is ever dropped on your city, you want to be right at ground zero. And they say, technically, ground zero was supposed to be this bridge in Hiroshima. There was a bridge that they targeted as the drop point. And they were looking through the thing. They were looking for the clouds to clear. And then they were going to drop it right there. But technically, they was a little bit off. So the bomb detonated over this hospital, right? So the people in the hospital, the people that was already just laid up in the hospital, the staff, they never knew what hit them. Gone. The people that really suffered were the people on the outskirts of the blast, the people with burnt skin, the people that got buried in rubble on top of the burnt skin. People walking around. This one survivor was saying that I saw a man walking and I heard like this clicking, this click-clack, click-clack. And I looked down and it's the bones of his feet hitting the concrete. People were just literally melted and alive. They were going to die soon, but it was just wailing. People were immediately thirsty because the heat immediately dehydrated them. As they are melted, they like water, water. Mushroom cloud. Then the nuclear rain, the black rain comes down. So now it's raining black waste. And, you know, nobody knew any better. Nobody knew any better. They are so desperate to drink something because they have just been heated into dehydration that they're drinking from a river that's polluted with nuclear fallout. So even if they survive what just happened to them physically, they are drinking the radiation poison. And that type of death is far worse than just dying immediately from a blast. Now they're going to have the slow, agonizing death of radiation sickness. And so I was just like. Now, President Truman, who had just came into office during the war, he's the one that be like, all right, let's bomb them. You know what I'm saying? He tells the American people, yo, we bombed them, you know? And Japan was still defiant. They were like, nah, man, we ain't giving up. We don't quit. Hell no, man. We still in this. And America was like, all right, y'all still in this. You bombed the other city. There was another city that they were supposed to bomb, Kakura or something like that. I'm probably saying it wrong, but it was not Nagasaki yet. Nagasaki was one of the choices, but it was another city that was the initial target for the second bombing. But they didn't have clear cloud. The clouds were covering the target point. So they looked down there. They was like, oh, it's too many clouds, man. We don't know. So it was like, all right. So they circled around and then came back, and the clouds were too thick again. They were like, man, let's just go to Nagasaki. So that city in the in-between is a lucky goddamn city. They were supposed to be the second target. The clouds saved so many people within that city and doomed the fate of Nagasaki. That's a bittersweet, like, man, it could have been us, but it was them. And so they went over there and bombed Nagasaki. Now, it wasn't as many people on that bombing, but it was a lot. But it was less because they had mountain ranges there that might have blocked some of the devastation. But still, two bombings. And then that's when Japan was finally like, all right, we give up. So it took America bombing two cities in Japan for Japan to finally be like, all right, man, all right. The death toll, just from Hiroshima, 100,000 plus, you know, if you count the initial blast and the deaths following that, Nagasaki's probably like 80,000, maybe, somewhere in there. Crazy loss of life. And they didn't know about the effects of radiation at that time. And so President Truman was just like, yo, man, hey, man, we bombed them. We stopped the war. We did it because of this. And people were like, yeah. Americans was like, yeah. But they didn't know no. They didn't know no about the effects of that bomb. Not only the loss of life in the instant of the initial blast, but the radiation effects. They didn't know nothing about that. They thought it was just like a boom, pow, all right, y'all. Man. So that's when people learned. And that's when the president learned. He was just like, when the president learned of what really happened with that bombing, with those bombings, he was sick. He was just like, because they were talking about, let's get a third one going, because they didn't know if Japan was going to give up. So they were like, let's get a third bomb going. And the people was like, man, give us time, man. We need time to get the third bomb going. Let's get it going, man. Let's keep this going. And then when they came up with the third bomb, President Truman was like, nah, man, nah, we done with the bombing. We done with the bombing. They say he was sick. He lost mad weight after that. He was just never right after that. He was never right after that, because he is personally responsible for that. You got to think about that. He wasn't in office at the start of the war, so he comes into this war that he inherited, and he is personally responsible for dropping those bombs. That would have fucked me all up. I'd have been done. Because on one hand, you're like, yo, how lives are going to be lost regardless. We're in the midst of a war. America, Germany had already folded over, but Japan was still just like, nah, we fighting. And if America was just going to stay in there, yeah, we fighting. Lives would have been lost, but it's still devastating because they would have started recruiting young boys. They were doing that already in World War II. You were just getting drafted. You young, you 18, Get your ass in this war, man. Nah, I got school. Nah, man, get in this war. Go over there and fight. So they pulling kids off the streets. You going to war, man. And World War II was devastating worldwide. Worldwide. Let me tell you how devastating World War II was. World War II caused an estimated 70 to 85 million deaths. That's World War II. And they say civilian deaths totaled 50 to 55 million. Military deaths from all causes totaled 21 to 25 million. Including deaths in captivity of about 5 million prisoners of war. 70 to 85 million people died as a result of World War II. So it was just like, you know, so initially it sounded like a good idea. Let's just bomb these cities out and end this. But And the surprising thing is how quickly Hiroshima bounced back as a city after that, you know, because they figured you couldn't live in that city for, 75 years before anybody could come back because of the nuclear fallout and the radiation. But for some reason, once they saw a certain flower growing back, they were just like, oh, well, shit, the flower's growing back, man. We can rebuild. We can rebuild. But to hear, you know, those stories of what people went through, because you see footage, you see pictures, they bombed Hiroshima. But when you think about what that looks like, what that feels like, what that must have sounded like, what it must have been like to survive something like that, and even if you survived, are you going to get sick with the radiation poisoning? To have a long suffering death. Because this is when they learned about the effects of radiation on the human body. So all of that just is terrifying to me. So that's what I'm scared of. It's like a nuclear war, man. Because knowing my luck, I'm going to be on the outskirts. You want that right over the top detonation. If it's going to be a nuclear war, man, I need it to detonate right above my house. To where I'm just like, man, let me dig in on this avocado toast. The hell just happened? Because people were vaporized in milliseconds. Give me that. If we gonna do this, give me that, man. Give me the milliseconds. Get your boy up out of here before I can even get my feet together to even process what the hell just happened. Just give me a bright light and then what the hell? I'm in the afterlife, confused. I want to be in the afterlife, confused like Patrick Swayze. Like, what the hell just happened, man? They detonated your city. Oh, damn. All right, well, we ghosts now? Crazy. And I went down another rabbit hole of the Mount St. Helens eruption. Mount St. Helens is in Washington State. And it erupted, it blew its top off in 1980, in May 1980. I was a fresh 3 years old when Mount St. Helens just, bow! You know what I'm saying? Because volcanoes scare me. Natural disasters are scary. You know, you got hurricanes, you got tornadoes, you got earthquakes, you got tsunamis, and you got volcanoes. Those are the big five, the heavy hitters. The heavy hitters. Out of those five, the volcano scares me the most. Because in the moment when you think about it, you'd be like, man, earthquake is mad scary, man. You're shaking and stuff is falling off the shelves and then, you know, buildings is falling. Terrifying. Tsunami is terrifying when you got them big waves coming in and you ain't even had time to clear yourself. And then you got cars and boats sliding through the city. You got trees coming in, houses just getting washed away. Terrifying. Got these huge waves coming in, your dunskies. Tornadoes, I've seen those with the naked eye. I've seen those in real life. Terrifying. To be face to face with a tornado is scary as hell, man. I've seen one with my own eyes. I've seen two other funnel clouds forming with my own eyes in New Mexico, the place I fled to because I was scared of nuclear war. I dove into a tornado zone as well. I'm here because I was scared of nuclear war. Look at this funnel cloud right here. Man, what the hell? I didn't plan correctly, man. Mistakes were made. Okay? So now I'm seeing tornadoes in real life. Something I never thought I'd see. I never thought for a million years I would see a tornado full eye contact. Never would I ever. It was beautiful and terrifying at the same time. Scary as hell. Hurricane. The thing about hurricanes is that they give you time to get your feet together. God forbid if you're on an island, but they give you time. I don't know what's worse, knowing it's coming or just a complete shock. Because earthquakes, they don't give you nothing. Earthquakes just be like, yeah, man, what's up? I'm in this bitch. They shake you up real quick and then they might hang out. They might float around, but then they out of there. But you never knew they were coming. Then when you get a big enough earthquake just going off, it's an 8 or 9 or 10. Let's say it's happening in the ocean. Now, you got the tsunami going. The earthquake and tsunami working together. Earthquake is like, yo, hey, yo, man. We partying down here. Tsunami's like, hey, all right. And then boom, you got the waves coming in. Everybody along those waters about to get slapped in the face. That tsunami disaster in the early 2000s was crazy. Life toll was crazy. 200-something thousand people gone. So earthquakes can go hand in hand with a couple natural disasters. Earthquake can tag team with the tsunami, and an earthquake can tag team with the volcano. Because the earthquake can be like, hey, yo, man, we getting it cracking down here. And then the volcano is like, hey, man, you going to make me blow my top, man. I'm just saying, man, we partying. Bow. And if you within range of the volcano, you're dunskies. Your land, your house, all that done. Hurricanes, they let you know it's coming. Hopefully, if you're in Florida, Louisiana, somewhere where there's land, you could be like, all right, man, the hurricane's coming. Let's get the hell up out of here. You can leave. If you're in Florida, especially, you'd be like, man, we going to go to Georgia. We going to go up north. We getting the hell up out of here, man. Hurricane Maggie is pulling up in 3 days. Let's get the fuck up out of here. You got time to get your feet together. The thing that scares me the most about volcanoes is that if enough of them go off, they can really fuck up the whole climate worldwide. Because, you know, a tsunami will happen, the waves will come, and then they get the coastline or whatever, they smack them up in the face, and then they done. You know what I'm saying? The earthquake is shaking it up, but then they done. Tornadoes come down, and then they wash away, they fade away, they go back up into the clouds, and then they done. Hurricane, they get riled up, they get hyped, they move along a certain path, and then they done. A volcano can keep that shit going if it wants to. Just breathing and coughing all over the skies, and then they can affect the literal temperature of the globe. Now you got ashy skies. You got the ash coming down. You got crops being ruined. There's a volcano eruption years ago that accounted for a massive death toll because people were starving because they ruined the landscape so they literally couldn't eat. So if you get enough volcanoes going, you got that volcanic winter shit going. Temperatures drop. Now we freezing because it's blocking out sunlight. The ash is going the world over. Fires are being started because the lava then slid on down to the forest. Now we got fires going, fucking up the air for people miles away getting affected. And as the volcanoes go off simultaneously, let's say Yellowstone blow its top off. And then St. Helens like, hey, man, let me get back active. Then another volcano over here, they just like bow, 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 fucking up the whole climate. So that Mount St. Helens joint, I was just invested because there were signs that something was wrong. You know, it was a whole bunch of little earthquakes. It was like little earthquakes happening. I'm talking like April, March. You know, the geological people was like, hey, what's going on down there in Mount St. Helens, man? What's happening? You know, it's brewing. It gives you little clues. It just ain't, and it was like a mound building. As these days were passing, it was like something was bubbling up. And they was just like, yo, there's something going on at the Mount St. Helens. Hey, man, block off the area, man. Make sure people don't come over here. And then the thing is, it calmed down for a few days. So it's like, you know what? Come on back to the volcano, man. Come on back out here, man. I think it's good now. Nah, man. I've been seeing all that activity and then the bulge coming up and then people going back. I'm like, I'm not going back close. And there's always one old man. There's always an old man that wants to stick around. He was like one of the caretakers, like a ranger type dude along the area of the volcano. He was like, nah, man. He was like 80 something years old. He was like, I'm staying. Always an I'm staying person. I'm staying. What you trying to prove? Get your ass out of there, man. Get the fuck up out of Dodge, man. What are you doing? Nah, I'm staying. Bro, no. Absolutely not. I get the scientists who were actually like doing the work and trying to see what's going on. You know, a couple of those type of guys got caught up in the mix. There was a photographer that died. He was close to the blast zone and he captured pictures before, and you can see the pictures. I forget his name, but his camera, the film in his camera was preserved because he took the final pictures of the smoke and the ash cloud getting closer to him, and he was in his car or whatever. And so he put his camera in his backpack and he like laid on his backpack and he died in his car. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and the people that died, their bodies were never recovered. They just, you just couldn't find it because when Mount St. Helens erupted, the whole north side of the mountain just gone. It was like, it was this huge, then you look, it was like slapped off. Whole side, anything on that north side, Dunskies. Trees, nature, wildlife, people, whatever was over there. Then you ain't even had time to get your feet together. Because we're talking about massive explosion, landslide of tons and tons of rock, rubble, trees coming down. If you on that other side, you ain't got no time to get your feet together, you Dunskies. And I heard it was more people on the other side of Mount St. Helens. So if it were to erupt on that side, the death toll would have been massive. But luckily, it was like bow on that north side. I think it's the north side. I could be mistaken. But it was one side. It went that way. And then you look at the volcano, it looked completely different after that. It just blew off. And it was just like, but people thought they were safe. They thought it was safe to come on back. And the volcano was just like, hey, man, I'm getting a little hot under the collar, man. Cough, spurts, earthquakes, the pimple, the volcanic pimple building and getting swollen. I would have been like, yo, man, I'm going to just let this volcano chill for a while. I might not ever came back, to be honest with you. If I know you're an active volcano, I can't be close to you on a regular basis. Maybe I can come like one day real quick and just look, but I can't be around you on the regular. I'm not trusting no volcano to blow its load in my face, give me the money shot. Nah, man. I'm like, yo, Mount St. Helens tripping. I'm putting in my resignation. If I worked at like the little ranger station or the little station down there at the Mount St. Helens Park or whatever, I'm like, I'm putting in my resignation. Why? Mount St. Helens doing a lot. I mean, this is what volcanoes do. Yeah. But what volcanoes also do is erupt. And I don't want to be down there when it blow a top. Nah, man. I'm going to go to these volcanoes that's been dormant for thousands of years. But I do want to go to Yellowstone. Even though it's active, I want to go out there. I got to see Yellowstone before I perish. One day, though. One day trip, quick in and out. But if it's busy over there, if it's pulsating, if it's doing too much, man, I ain't going. But I would love to see Yellowstone because that's an active volcano. And they say if that mug blow its top, which it could, man, listen. We Dunskies. Dunskies. I don't mean to scare y'all. I don't mean to scare y'all like this, but you know what I'm saying? Those are the kind of rabbit holes I went down. And I you know, I've been talking for 1:15, man. Let me get the hell up out of here. But I appreciate y'all for listening. As we get closer to the holiday, y'all, I know the holidays can be like a lonely time for some. But I just want you to know that you're cared for, you're loved out here. You're special. Hang in there. Hang 10. If you do got family and friends you can build with during the holidays, do that. You know what I'm saying? Don't be like, oh, I'm sad and lonely on the holidays, but you turn down some nice little invites from your loved ones. Because some people be doing that. They get invited over for Thanksgiving and they be like, oh, I just want to be sad and alone. Man, go over there to your loved one's crib. Go to your friend's house. Go to your family's house. Build, reflect, spend time with one another. If you are away from the family, that's when it's tough. But, you know, hop on those FaceTimes. Hopefully you built a friendship and community with people that you work with, people that you go to school with. Whatever you got going, I hope that you can find, like, you know, a space to lessen the lonely load around the holidays, because I know it can get tough. But, yeah, make sure you eat good on Thanksgiving. And I don't think there'll be a verbal cardio next week. But I just want y'all to have a great holiday. You know, you can still find me on Instagram talking and building and doing stuff. But, yeah, I don't want you to be lonely. I don't want you to be lonely out here. Anyway, shout out to Mish. Misha Keg is her birthday today. So say happy birthday to her. And I appreciate y'all. And thank you for tuning in to another session of that verbal cardio.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities?
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America?
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.